This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
After 3 years of brutal control over nearly a third of Iraq, ISIS is close to being defeated. And now, Iraqis want justice. But that form of justice has been harsh and swift, relentlessly handing down conviction after conviction. 700 foreign women who are accused of being members of ISIS are currently being detained in Baghdad. And in one Baghdad court, many of these women were recently sentenced to death and dozens to life in prison after hearings that were just 10 minutes long. Belkis Vile is a senior Iraq researcher for Human Rights Watch. Belkis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So what do we know about the background of these women? Where are they from?
So this is a large group of women. As you said, it's actually about 700 women. The vast majority of those women are Turkish. There's a large number that are also from Azerbaijan, a range of different former Soviet states, as well as a handful of Europeans and even women from as far afield as Trinidad and Tobago. These women were living in ISIS territory in Iraq and surrendered to Kurdish forces on August 28th, after which they were handed over to Iraqi military forces who held them in a camp for displaced people before transferring them to prison and are now treating them as criminals and charging and convicting them.
Now, is there any evidence that any of these women were actively fighting on behalf of ISIS, or were these perhaps widows of deceased former ISIS fighters or fighters who have fled the country?
So as Human Rights Watch, we actually had the opportunity of interviewing some of these women in September when they were being held at that camp, and since then have been following the trials very closely in Baghdad. I have not come across a single case where a woman is being alleged to have held a position as, for example, a fighter or someone who is more intimately involved with the acts of ISIS. Instead, the allegation is really that these women came, lived under ISIS, married fighters, or came with their husbands and supported their husbands as a family member, as a wife. Now, a lot of these women actually have said to the judge that they were coerced into coming to the country, brought against their will, their child was kidnapped by their husband and they had to follow. And the judge has responded to that in each case by saying, well, in that case, I'll give you life in prison instead of the death penalty. And again, these are women who are not being alleged to have held any specific positions, carrying out terror acts or acting as fighters.
Tell us a little bit. I mean, you mentioned a little bit about the process, but can you give us a clearer sense of what exactly the process is? Because these trials are, we're hearing, they're 10 minutes each.
Absolutely. These are extremely quick trials. So these women, at some point several months ago, had an interview with the investigative judge, the judge who leads the investigations against them. There were actually a group of judges who came into the prison where these women are being held, and these women are being held also with hundreds of their children. After these interviews, the prosecution essentially drew up charges against the women. The women have all been or are all being charged with breaching Provision 4 of Iraq's counterterrorism law, which is a law that criminalizes any act sympathetic to a terrorist organization, and a second charge of illegal entry. They're then brought in batches before the investigative judge, who signs off on the charges, and then again, months later, they return to the courthouse in another trial, also lasting around 10 minutes, a sentencing hearing where three judges decide whether to give them life in prison, the death penalty, or a lower sentence, which generally hasn't been happening.
And we understand that some of the women who are not Iraqis are judged, are being judged much more harshly than those who are. Give us a sense of why that is.
Well, yes. I mean, to be clear, this group of 700 women, all of them are foreign. And the Iraqi judiciary is not bringing charges against Iraqi women who had husbands who were, let's say, fighters. This is really, these are unique charges being brought against foreigners as opposed to Iraqi women. The few Iraqi women that have been charged were women where there's evidence that they held positions carrying out terror acts and acting as fighters. Now, the reason for this is really political as well as feeding into a general feeling among the Iraqi public of the need for really what simply is revenge. And it's a desire to punish foreigners who in the eyes of the Iraqis, you know, really had a lot of agency in their choices to leave their country, buy a plane ticket, enter into Iraq illegally, and then as they see it, you know, damage their country and kill their fellow Iraqis. And as a result of the agency that Iraqis see as having gone into all those decisions, Iraqis would like foreigners to be punished the most harshly for their choice to live under ISIS and affiliate with ISIS.
And some of these women have children or are pregnant. What is likely to happen to their offspring?
I think that's one of the scariest prospects here. So of these 700 women, we're talking about around 900 children. These are very young children. Most of them were born in ISIS territory, so within the last 3.5-4 years. Some countries like Russia, like France and Germany, have been very proactive in having their embassies reach out to the women and have the women essentially agree to allow their children to be repatriated home to live with relatives in their home country. But the vast majority are from countries that are not making that effort. So most of the women, Turkish women, are facing a reality where the Turkish government is doing nothing, as far as we can tell, to repatriate the children home. And it really begs the question, what happens to women who are actually put on death row? The children won't be able to stay with them in the prison. And what authorities in Baghdad have told me is that these kids will simply be transferred to Baghdad's state orphanage, at which point, you know, it's anyone's guess what their future holds.
Belkis Vile is a senior Iraq researcher for Human Rights Watch. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.